You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, well, still pastor by canon law at St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's beautiful northwest side, but beginning on July 1,
we're waiting.
Pastor at St. Mary's Community in Evanston.
We're waiting for the big move, Greg.
Well, I'm still trying to get rid of stuff. And with us is, again, Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Graz.
Good to be with you.
It's great to be with you. It's been a couple of weeks since we have worked together, and
we've been telling people that you were busy packing, but you look like you're really tanned, so I don't know.
I did get away for 5 days, but had a beautiful closing liturgy at St. Mary of the Woods. I love the community, and the people are marvelous.
And they love you.
And well, thank you. You know, transitions are messy. You know, it is hard, but you have to root it in prayer and trust in the Lord, and things work out. But, you know, change. You know, there's a great line that says, the only person who really, truly welcomes change is a wet baby.
It's a
wet. It's true.
Wait a minute, I must be wet all over because I like change.
Do you really?
I do.
I think most people are creatures of habit. So how are you doing, Graz?
I'm doing pretty well. Been sitting in front of my computer doing a lot of writing these days.
You're working on a chapter of a book dealing with
lay ministry.
Wow.
And the authorization of lay ecclesial ministers by the diocesan ordinary.
And it's due when?
It was due at midnight on Tuesday, and I emailed it at 11:59 p.m.
Did you really?
I did.
Like going back to your college days. Procrastinator, according
but
to
I made it.
Brian, and you made it?
I made it.
And just like in our college days, if papers do at a certain time, we did it. Well, our number is, what is the number? 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408 on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz along with Graziano Marcheschi on this beautiful Friday morning, the start of a big three-game series, Cubs at U.S. Cellular against the White Sox. And Sox are hot and Cubs are struggling. And
Cubs
I'm a diehard Wyatt Sox fan.
Not.
And but
who are you rooting for, Greg?
The White Sox. But as long as I always root for the Cubs, as long as they're not playing for the White Sox. But I'm a White Sox fan. But we got to get to a program here. Today we are revisiting the topic of the environment with three wonderful guests from initiatives and organizations whose work directly impacts the environment through living, education, advocacy, and funding. All of our guests work to promote the understanding that when we care for creation, we practice social justice. And with us by phone, we have Sister Janet Weiler, a founder of the Racine Dominican. Weiker. I'm very sorry, Sister Janet Weiker, a founder of the Racine Dominican Eco Justice Center, dedicated to environmental education and care for the earth. Sister Janet holds a master's degree in art education and guidance counseling and was a former teacher, principal, counselor, and retreat leader before joining the Eco Justice Center, where simple, sustainable living and education are the order of the day. Sister Janet Weiker, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Sister Janet, can I come work with you?
Oh, we'd love to have anyone come and work with us.
That sounds like great fun.
Yes, it is.
See, it Greg, does. I do like change. I would, in a heartbeat, I would go work on a farm.
now, what would your wife Nancy say about that?
Well, she wouldn't like it.
That could cause
especially
a problem.
Especially the part about collecting the animal manure and turning it into compost.
But, well, now, Sister Janet, you were born and raised on a farm?
I was in Belgium, Wisconsin, and that was probably my best preparation for the work that I'm doing here, because it is work. We take care of animals, we do gardening, and then I was a teacher, as you mentioned, and that serves us in good stead here as well, because we have lots of people, and especially young people, to visit our center. We do camps during the summer, and we have school groups coming for trips, so it's a busy place.
And the thing is, what year or how old were you when you entered the Dominicans?
Well, I entered right after eighth grade, so I was 14 years old.
Wow.
But now, the most important question, you are not a Green Bay Packer fan, are you?
Well, I am, but I'm also a Chicago Bear fan.
Oh, well, then this program can continue.
Yes,
this discussion.
I used to be working in Platteville for 20 years in
where the Bears practiced.
As a campus minister where the Bears practiced, so I was a Bear fan unless they were playing the Packers. And even when they played the Packers, I said, I can't lose.
That sounds very familiar. Well, I think, first of all, the topic that Diane Dunnigan has chosen today on environment, it is such a hot topic, you know, that we are stewards of the gift of the earth. So tell us something about the, as founder of the Racine Dominican Eco Justice Center, when was it founded, and how was the idea created?
Okay, it started about 10 years ago, actually, when I was on our community's leadership team. Because it was the millennium, and we were going to have celebrations during the summer, we weren't going to have business meetings. However, there was an important question we wanted our sisters to consider, and it was this. Where are we in ministry, and we want more of us Racine Dominicans doing it, or where aren't we? And we ought to be there doing it. So about 100 of our sisters gathered the first weekend in April in 2000, and we prayed, reflected, and then people had a chance to get up and name that area of ministry. And one of our sisters said, you know, the Racine Dominicans have always been about education and justice ever since we came to Wisconsin. And that was in 1862. But she said, there's one area of education and justice that we aren't addressing in a very deliberate, conscious way, and that is environmental education and justice for Earth herself. So 13 other people shared ideas, and then in the afternoon, we divided into groups according to which of those 14 ideas we had a passion for. Six of us gathered around that idea of justice for the Earth and environmental education. So the six of us talked about it. Maybe we met every 2 months or so. And after 2 years, I ended up thinking, you know, I'm tired of talking about it. I really want to do this. So how do we do this? And you mentioned St. Mary's of the Woods. I got a sabbatical after my term in leadership was finished, and I studied earth literacy there for 2 years. I also visited a lot of other environmental centers, especially those that were run by religious women. So I went to Jubilee Farm in Springfield, Illinois, that's run by the Springfield Dominicans. Also, Crown Point Ecology Center in Bath, Ohio, Shepherd's Corner in Blacklick, Ohio, The Bridge Between in Denmark, Wisconsin, and all of those are run by Dominicans. I also went to the Oldenburg Franciscans to their farm, and I brought all those ideas back to our group, and I said, which of these things do we want to do and which we don't want to have in our place? And so gradually this dream formed, and we call our place a Center for Community, Contemplation, Creativity, and cultivation.
You know, sister, one of the things that strikes me about what you just described is the process of discernment that your community used, which I think is typical of women's congregations. It's really a communitarian approach. It's really the tapping, the wisdom that exists within the body and trusting that the Holy Spirit is speaking through the entire community to surface an idea like this. I just find that very edifying to hear you describe that process.
Right, and it took a while. Like I said, we got the idea in the year 2000, but we didn't actually get our place until the year 2004, and it was on the Feast of St. Francis, which I think is very fitting.
Well, we want to hear a whole lot more about that, but we need to take a short break right now.
Okay.
We'll continue our conversation about the ecology and how we can incarnate justice through our work. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short message.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
The Islamic Society of North America invites Catholics of the Archdiocese of Chicago to their annual convention from Friday, July 2nd through Sunday, July 4th at the Donald E. Stephens Convention Center in Rosemont. This year, you are also cordially invited to an Interfaith Unity Banquet on Sunday, July 4th from 5 to 8 p.m. in the Grand Ballroom of the Hyatt Regency O'Hare. Attendance at any part of the convention as well as the banquet is free, but your reservations are required. Please call the Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs at 312-534-5325 or email eia@archchicago.org to reserve your place. That number again is 312-534-5325. We look forward to seeing you.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. The time is exactly 9:12 in Chicago on this beautiful, beautiful Friday morning. Graziano, I can't believe that next Thursday is already July, and the following Sunday is July 4th, the whole weekend. It's like, where did the month of June go?
You know, don't remind me of that.
Whoa, it's really flying by. And our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Jump in the conversation. We are talking with Sister Janet Weicker, a founder of the Racine Dominican Eco Justice Center, dedicated to environmental education and care for the earth. Sister Janet, off the air, or during the commercial, I was talking with Graz that it's almost what you're describing with the Racine Dominican Eco Justice Center. Two things hit me. Number one, it seems to be like a throwback to another era of our country when life was simpler. And I had this image of almost like a Catholic Amish center in terms of a simpler but consciousness-raising social justice, how we are destroying the earth. Maybe just respond to what I had just said.
That's a good way to describe our place. So many of our visitors that come here say, this is what my grandmother had, or this was on our grandfather's farm, and they have great memories. And also, they feel like pace is a lot slower here, although it doesn't feel that way to me because I see all the work that needs to be done. But the fact that we grow our own food, most of that, and do our own yard work and maintenance there, and care for animals and get our hands into the soil, it is a way that people live more simply. And
you even generate your own electricity.
Well, yes, we do.
And end up with a surplus.
Yeah, let me tell you about our renewable energy. When we came here, the house was had only three bedrooms, and we wanted this to be a center for community, at least five or six sisters living here. So that led us to putting on an addition to our house. So we did a lot of studying, studied green building technologies. So we put in 55 solar panels, solar hot water, a geothermal heating and cooling system. So with the solar panel, 6 months out of the year, we get a check from the electric company, and 6 months out of the year, we get a bill. Now, I really like getting the checks better than the bills. And so I thought...
You sound like a pastor.
So your setup there is somehow hooked up to the electric company. They tap all that energy. You get to use some of it, and they pay you for the excess.
That's correct. Well. And then... we save about $2,000 a year on our electric bill. That's our only source of energy. So this month, actually, it's in July, the week of July 10th, we're going to start the installation of a wind turbine.
Okay.
And that's going to bring us really close to being independent of the burning of fossil fuel for our energy here, although that, too, will be connected to the grid.
But now, Sister Janet, I've heard pros and cons with the wind turbine. You know, you hear like two sides of the argument with that type of energy. I mean, I'm not an expert in the area, but I've just heard that there's pros and cons, I guess, to everything. But has that been part of the discussion with you?
Oh, it was. We studied this for about 9 months before we made the decision to go ahead with it. First of all, we had a site assessment done. Mm-hmm. And then you talk, part of the work of the site assessment is to say, is there enough wind there? Are you going to get back on your investment in it? And is there a possibility of bird kill or environmental mm-hmm. impact, et cetera? But everything we studied pointed to, yes, this is a feasible project here. And the fact that Focus on Energy and our local utility give us cash back incentives, and that's what makes this financially feasible for us. And then I've had to write for some grants, and we hope we'll be doing a fall fundraiser at our festival to help pay for the difference. And we hope that, too, will be paid back in 15 years. If we save $2,000 a year also on our energy through the wind turbine, we'll end up paying, it'll pay for itself.
I understand.
And the amount of bird kill is minimal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I understand you also heat your water with solar energy, and that on a really bright sunny day, it gets up to 160 degrees.
That's right.
What about a not-so-bright sunny day?
Well, we have these two large holding tanks,
uh-huh.
and then we also have a regular electric hot water heater. So if we have maybe 5 days without hot water, I mean without a lot of sun, and the hot water gets cool, the electric heater brings it up to 125. But we only use hot water for washing dishes and taking showers. We do all our laundry using cold water, and that saves on water, too.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about your community or pay a visit, a phone number, a web?
Okay. Our phone number is 262-681-8527.
That number once again, Janet.
262-681-8527.
And what about a web?
A web is RacineDominicans.org/ministry, and then look up, click on Eco Justice Center.
Now, Sister, would you say that the main focus of your center is to educate those who come and visit, or is it to be a witness, to be a living example of this alternate lifestyle, this simpler living?
I'd say it's both of those.
Both of those.
Both of those. It's like we have a busload of visitors here right now. They came 15 minutes early. They're going to see our solar clothes dryer, which is our wash line. So people, just by the way we live, they see us gardening and weeding and... drying our clothes outside, that's a witness to.
Yeah, but it almost sounds like you've developed there, you know, we talked earlier about the Amish community setting, like a monastic setting. It's like away from the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another part of that is we also have just completed a hermitage that people can come and
there you go. Okay.
By a day or a week or a weekend if they want to. It's a simple cabin that is 16 square foot inside, and it has a composting toilet, no running water, but it has heat and electricity, and it's just simply beautiful.
Does it get kind of tough by you during the winter?
Pardon? Is it tough?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty bad in Chicago, and
well,
you're up in Racine, which is
not
exactly talking a warm climate.
It varies. We have a snowblower, so we get through. We didn't get snowed in at all last year, so it was a milder winter last year than the winter before. But some people are saying, "Oh, I want to use the Hermitage, but I want to wait until winter when it's even more quiet and silent here." So it's a lovely, beautiful place. And a lot of our visitors say, oh, I had no idea that there was a place like this so close to the city.
Well, we're going to go to a break here and stay with us, Sister Janet. This is Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheski. Our guest is Sister Janet Weicker, a founder of the Racine Dominican Eco Justice Center, dedicated to environmental education and care for the earth. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Traveling this summer? Then stay connected to your church while you travel by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 950 AM on this gorgeous Friday morning in Chicago. The time is 922. Our number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. We're talking on the topic of ecology, environment, and we have an additional guest in the studio, Reverend Dr. Claire Butterfield, Executive Director of Faith in Place, an organization that gives religious people the tools to become good stewards of the earth. And since 1999, Faith in Place has partnered with over 500 congregations in Illinois to promote clean energy and sustainable farming. And Reverend Dr. Butterfield is a Unitarian Universalist minister. This is interesting. Prior to entering ministry, Claire was a practicing tax and corporate lawyer. Wow. Claire, welcome to Catholic Community Faith.
Thank you for having me.
We may need to ask you a couple of questions when we're off the air.
And before we begin questions with Claire, we're going to finish up with Janet.
Sister Janet, First of all, I'm looking at a picture of Friar Tuck here, one of your alpacas. So give him my best regards. It looks like in this picture he just had his spring haircut.
Actually, they just had their haircut about 10 days ago.
I understand you leave the fur on the legs so they look like they're wearing bloomers.
Right, so the flies don't bug them there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just wondering, what is it like, what is life like when it's so much more focused on the survival aspects? You know, if you go back into what we're calling the simpler era, you know, 100, 200 years ago, people spent the major part of their day just living, you know, getting the food that they had to put in their mouths to survive. You know, we in modern culture, we have expendable income, we have expendable time, we have a lot of leisure time. I'm assuming you have less leisure time, and that you're much more focused on doing the things that you have to do to survive.
Right.
How does that change life?
I think it just makes us more conscious, more reflective, and more grateful for everything. It's like when I have some young people volunteering here, and they're helping in the garden, and they say, well, why don't you just spray all these weeds? I said, you know, when you have to work hard to make the garden grow, you're going to appreciate your food a whole lot more. It's going to taste a whole lot better when you've worked hard to help it grow and help prepare it. So I think this lifestyle is conducive to contemplation and gratitude and reflection.
And maybe one quick question before, I know you have to run to a meeting now, Janet. How has your style of living helped your personal prayer life?
Well, I think there's not a disconnect between, oh, now it's time for prayer and now it's time for work. They kind of get integrated. We're mindful of God's beauty and God's help, even when we have weather that's not good. And I'm much more conscious about the effects of the weather and on our lifestyle and all of the animals that we take care of and all the gardens. So, you know, it makes me, I think, pray oftener and think that all of this is not our doing, but God's doing.
Well, Sister Janet, we want to thank you for taking time to be with us this morning, but more so we want to thank you for the exemplary lifestyle that you're living and the model that it creates for the rest of us. Do give our best regards to Friar Tuck and the others and to the group of visitors you've got there today.
All right. Thank you much.
God bless you, Sister Janet.
All right.
And now with us again, we mentioned in studio, Reverend Dr. Claire Butterfield, the Executive Director of Faith and Practice, an organization that gives religious people the tools to become good stewards of the earth. And Claire, how was this whole group founded? Whose idea? Was this yours?
It was mine, among other people's. It was started 11 years ago at another organization as a project that then became Faith in Place, an independent nonprofit. And our hope was that we could bring the faith community into a conversation locally on sustainability, because the faith community 11 years ago really wasn't a participant in that conversation.
So say more maybe about this whole thing about promoting clean energy and sustainable farming.
We tried to identify some areas where we could work with congregations based on the congregation's interests. And the issues that came up over and over again were energy and food. These seem to be where people want to plug in to trying to live a more sustainable life. So we can help congregations from form their green team and just get started in a conversation. We have seminary students who can come and give you some advice in that process. To helping congregations install solar hot water systems. We've helped a couple do that. My home congregation, Unity Temple, is piloting a geothermal system. And then a lot of people start to identify with the sustainable movement around food, particularly if they're raising children. And so we've tried to help congregations create some direct markets for local farmers who are growing food sustainably so that we can help to build that local food economy.
Dr. Blumenthal, you talk about how these issues of ecology and the care of creation are at the forefront of justice issues. Explain that, please.
Well, I think a lot of times in the traditional environmental movement, people talk about the environment in non-human terms. And what we've tried to do at Faith in Place is translate it into human terms. So if we talk about climate change and energy use, we want to talk about the impact that climate change is going to have on the poor of the world, that that water distribution is going to be altered, and that people are going to have to migrate. There are going to be environmental forced migrations, and they're mostly going to impact people who don't have a lot of money, because the poor feel the impact of everything first.
That's a very helpful perspective, because I think sometimes it's easy to see it as a human effort versus you know, helping nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that either you're going to stand up for people or you're going to stand up for trees and animals. But you're saying, no, there's no dichotomy here.
That's right. I think just as the sister was saying, that there's no great division between work and prayer. The earth is the earth, and the creatures live on it together. This is the question that we face, is how shall we live here together? And we are all the living things that God has placed here. So it's a question of justice for all of us, and justice for the least of these, including the poor and the non-human who don't have a voice.
Before we go to a break, I've got to ask you this, Claire. It said here that you were a practicing tax and corporate lawyer. So how did you go from being a practicing tax and corporate lawyer into the ministry?
Well, it was not a rapid transition. A lot of people, I evaded my sense of call until I couldn't anymore. It took about 10 years to go back to seminary and get trained to do this. But I certainly didn't see this career coming out of it.
That's where the Lord works in marvelous ways in our life, if we're open.
You know, Greg, it's not unusual. In my Together in God service program, I have had, I think, 5 different lawyers changing careers, moving out of law and into ministry.
Wow, we're going to go to break here on Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi. The time is exactly 9:30 in Chicago. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Hey, Father Cusick.
Hey, Dr. Kate DeVries.
Do you think all of our listeners have heard about Theology on Tap's 30th anniversary celebrations?
Let's tell them. Theology on Tap is a summer speaker and discussion series aimed at people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's been serving the finest of theology speakers in conversation for 30 years.
That's a lot to celebrate. This year, we begin July 11th and go until August 6th with some wonderful speakers and topics.
And then on Sunday, August 8th, Cardinal George is celebrating Mass at 3 p.m. at Holy Name Cathedral for everyone who has ever been a part of the program.
After Mass, the Cardinal invites us all back to his residence for a picnic. What a fun way to spend Sunday in the city.
And additional events are also being planned for the 30th anniversary.
On July 23rd, Father Cusick is leading a talk, Why Should I Go to Church? It's a key question. It's open to all past and present Theology on Tap participants and their children.
Details about additional special events can be found on our website, yamchicago.org, and you can purchase tickets for the August 8th picnic there as well.
Come celebrate 30 years of Theology on Tap with us. Again, details are at yamchicago.org.
Let's keep tapping, and God bless.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God, in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's retreat focuses on fueling our faith as we reclaim our faithful.
We will examine the fire of evangelization as it pertains to Black Catholic spirituality. Experience robust talks, prayer sessions, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry and lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community.
Join us at Mawusi Friday, July 30th to Sunday, August 1st at Techne Towers in Techne, Illinois. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Are you Mawusi?
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Savage along with Grazia Markeski. Time is 9:35 on this gorgeous Friday morning in Chicago, and that music means one thing. It means we have Joyce DeRiga, editor of the Catholic New World, with us on air. Good morning, Joyce. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks.
I just
want you to know, Joyce, that Greg and I are very envious that you have your own theme music.
This is the Joyce DeRiga theme. This is like, Chelsea Dagger for the Chicago Blackhawks for their own theme song.
Maybe I'll get them to record it and I can use it as my ringtone for myself.
There you go.
So, Joyce, what is happening with the Catholic New World and the upcoming new issue?
This issue, I swear, is all it's a lot of anniversaries. I just heard the commercial for Theology on Tap. We have a story about that. It's turning 30 this year and looking back on how it got started and, you know, it has national scope now with a lot of dioceses picking up the model. We also have the 10th anniversary of the Liturgical Institute out at Mundelein, and then the 10th anniversary of the Office for Racial Justice. I swear everybody's turning, you know, having an anniversary in July. And then we have the coverage of Bishop Papraki's installation as the Bishop of Springfield. And then with the summer coming, you know, we're now in full-fledged summer mode. We've got a center spread about the violence that a lot of our parish communities see. And the Cardinal had released a letter last week about telling Catholics to pray for people in these communities, but also to respond. And then we have some stories about some parishes that are doing anti-violence work and what that means to Catholics.
You know, it's very interesting, the topic for this summer issue. One of them is that whole sense of summer and violence. And, that's a huge issue. And people actually get scared in some communities as summer comes around.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, give us a sneak preview, if you know anything about the Cardinal's upcoming trip to Cuba.
Unfortunately, I don't know too much. I just know that what I've been reading online, that he was saying a couple masses, and he's headed back. If he's not back today already, he's got a full schedule coming up. So unfortunately, it was kind of mom, so I'm curious too on
okay, so he's there. It's not upcoming. It's happening.
And you may have something like in the next issue.
He's even back. Okay, great.
Yeah,
great.
He went Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be eager to hear about that in the following issue then.
Okay, me too.
Well,
I'll learn.
So are the editors. So, Joyce, thank you very much for joining us here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. And we've had with us now Joyce DeRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World. Joyce, have a blessed summer. We will be talking to you probably in a couple of weeks as you come out with the next issue. So keep up the great work, and God bless you. Now we're back again with Reverend Dr. Claire Butterfield, the Executive Director of Faith in Place, an organization since 1999 that gives religious people the tools to become good stewards of the earth.
And your program obviously is a interfaith and ecumenical kind of effort. Tell us a little bit about the involvement of Catholic parishes in this effort.
Well, we have quite a number of Catholic parishes who've gotten engaged with us. We have good friends at Old St. Pat's and at St. Gertrude's and St. Nick's in Evanston, a bunch of congregations.
That's my home parish.
Yay. A bunch of congregations around the Archdiocese. And of course, we all take inspiration from the sisters in Racine, and then there's a group of Dominican sisters in Springfield who are living very sustainably along similar lines, and there's a White Violet Center in Indiana. So it's not just the participation of parishes, but the model of Catholic religious, I think, that guides us in a lot
now,
of what we do.
What constitutes participation? How are these parishes?
Yeah, how do you interconnect?
We have a very low bar for membership. We call you a partner, and basically if we've seen you at some point in the last year, you are one. So if we have sent someone to your parish to work with your green team, you're a partner, unless you tell us to stop. And if it can go up from there. We have workshops to bring people of all faiths together, and so anyone who participates in our activities
Say
is
more
considered
clear
a partner.
About the green team. What do you mean green team?
We've found that a way that helps to integrate environmental practices into the whole ethic and practice of a congregation is to form a team of people who are charged with carrying the idea of sustainability and the connection of sustainability to faith through the whole parish. So it doesn't just become a committee that covers a small area of parish life.
Or just a few people.
Right. Because you really want to talk to the folks who are making purchasing decisions, the people who are deciding what kind of food to serve, the folks who work on the social justice aspects of the parish life. So you want to infiltrate the entire life of the parish, because this is about practicing our faith, and it needs to be everywhere, not just tucked off into some corner. So we try to create a good-sized green team so that it can infiltrate every other part of the life of the parish.
What was the genesis of your own passion for this issue?
I think it's been with me my whole life. I grew up in rural central Illinois, and I think my own love for nature is what helped guide me to a sense that there is a larger purpose in our lives, and that there is a loving kindness at the center of creation. I think that's what helped me become a religious person. And so I think that wanting to sustain the beauty of the natural world around us, for me, is a way of recognizing God's grace and interacting with it.
You now live in Chicago, or the Chicagoland area. You were raised as a girl in central Illinois. I'm not sure if it was a farming community, but I know you went to Fisher High School, which St. Ignatius, I never heard of it. And you said
most people haven't.
In fact, Claire made the point, she said, on our football team, we had 20 guys on the football team, four of which played on the band, and they were band members.
The marching band.
The marching band. Right. So I've never heard of that. You know,
it was silly.
I think it's terrific, but the question is, it was an adjustment for you to move from central Illinois, I know you went to University of Illinois, and then in studies up here in the Chicagoland area, to come to, quote, the big city. Was that a huge adjustment for you?
I think although we lived in the country, my father was connected to the University of Illinois in Champaign, and we spent time, actually, as I was growing up, a lot of time between rural Illinois and Mexico City. And so I always went back and forth between rural and urban, and coming here was an extension of that. And I think helped to prepare me to do work that draws people from all faiths and all backgrounds together, because I grew up with all kinds of people in my life.
No, I really appreciate you helping those of us who are city slickers, who maybe aren't as into, you know, nature as others, to realize that we have just as much an investment in these ecological concerns, because we still live in this world. And whether we like to go out and get a tan or whether we like to stay inside, we're affected by these issues.
Yes, we all breathe water, drink water, and breathe air.
And we are.
So we are dependent on these systems.
And we are definitely need to be stewards of God's creation. Give us an example, Claire, to promote clean energy. For example, what do we do for a lot of people as a way of hurting the ecosystem, the whole ecological system, that some common sense things that we could be doing better to become better stewards of God's creation?
Well, sadly, one of the worst things you can do environmentally is to be an American, because our pattern of consumption is so large.
Now, that's interesting.
Compared to every other country. So the amount of the earth that we take up is really large compared to, say, someone in Bangladesh. So what we need to do is be mindful of the impacts that we're having, how much energy we burn, which comes from a coal-fired power plant, and how that contributes to climate change. So to use as little energy as possible, to drive as little as possible, to drive a fuel-efficient vehicle when we do need to drive, to just be aware of our impacts, to hold others in mind as we live our daily lives, and to live simply and minimally out of love for our brothers and sisters.
Even one thing that I know that drives me out of my mind when I see this happening, someone is driving their car, opens up the window, and flips out the garbage from their car at 50 miles an hour. And I say to myself, would you do this in your own home, just flip the garbage into the living room? And maybe some do. I don't know. But the thought is, we have to be stewards of this earth, and a simple thing of garbage being tossed out a car window, or you walk along the beach and you see the bottles and the trash, it does sicken me.
It's an alienation from place. And I think it's easier to be afflicted by that in an urban area where natural systems can be more disguised by the human-built environment. But we do need to, I think most of us in Chicago viscerally love the lake. We
yes.
love the lake.
Yeah.
And it makes us humble and it fills us with awe. It's a holy experience, but we need to remember to take care of it.
Before we go, give us a website that people can go to if they want to learn more about your organization.
To www.faithinplace.org.
And how more time?
www.faithinplace.org.
And a phone number?
It's 312-733-4640.
Once again.
312-733-4640.
I want to thank in a special way Reverend Dr. Claire Butterfield, Executive Director of Faith in Place, an organization that gives religious people the tools to become good stewards of the earth. Thank you for joining us, Claire.
Thank you.
Stay with us here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. We'll be back right after a break.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is exactly 9:48 on this Friday in Chicago with the Cubs and the White Sox about to square off at 3 o'clock at the U.S. Cellular Field on the south side. I'm not going to sing the Go-Go White Sox song. I don't want to lose all our listeners. And with us in studio, Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation of the Archdiocese of Chicago, is co-host. And with us by phone, we have Tom Costanza, the Director of the Office for Social Justice in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Tom was instrumental in getting CCHD emergency grant money to the amount of $300,000. They'll help offset some of the damage done to people and the environment by the BP oil spill in the Gulf, which has been horrific going back to April. The establishment of this grant money was announced by the bishops of the United States during their recent spring meeting in St. Petersburg, Florida. Some of the money will go to organize fishermen through several groups, and portions of the grant money that will go to Louisiana Bucket Brigade, an organization that works to preserve the environment. Tom Costanza, the director of the Office for Social Justice in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you. Welcome, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share some insights of what's happening down in the Gulf Coast.
Well, you and your fellow Louisianers, I don't know what you call someone who lives in Louisiana, but you and all your fellow citizens down there have certainly been in the prayers of many of us up here as we watch the images on television and worry with the rest of the country about what's happening there. Can you give us a sense of what it's like to be down there and to be in the midst of all that chaos?
Well, certainly you mentioned, you know, prayer, and Archbishop Amon is really developing and really the spiritual leader in the diocese right now, and has been visibly present in the fishing communities with the fishermen, their families, with the lay people, with the local pastors who have been outstanding in their leadership during this crisis. So in the midst of all the chaos that's going on in people's lives, you know, it's fundamental that we keep that focus in spirituality and prayer. And so we've been holding spirituality and stress sessions where we reflect on Pope Benedict's encyclical on Christian Hope, which is a wonderful encyclical for this time for our people in the Gulf Coast region. So then, you know, certainly we are very present to take care of the temporal needs. We are, through Catholic Charities and the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, looking at the concrete needs of the people relative to basic food and income streams, because the claims processes, the uncertainty of it all is what's, I think, most unsettling to people who all their lives have worked day and night to create their businesses, and the uncertainty of the BP claims
process. Well, now, Tom, let me ask this question. We have seen images on television, on the internet, in newspapers. You see oil-covered pelicans, gulls, fish washed ashore, salt marshes destroyed, and I mean, I know the images cannot begin to portray the reality of the devastation. And what really, I think, is upsetting all of us, not only nationwide, but worldwide, is they haven't been able to cap it, and thousands and thousands and thousands of gallons of oil are being spilled as we speak. And you say, when is the end coming? Now, I'm sure you have walked along the ocean front there. I mean, is it literally, as you walk up to the shore, just tar-laden?
In the coastline that I'm familiar with is the marshland, and we have the approximate state coastline of Maryland, and I think the District of Columbia coastline, it's about 150 miles of our marshland that's covered. And, you know, our marshland in Louisiana is not a white beach that you could see. It's just intricate estuaries of just ecological greatness and ecological bountifulness that has fed this nation, literally, for years, and that's what's most unsettling to the fishermen when they go out and see that. So, you know, it's not like we see a white beach with tarballs and that. We just it's even more compelling because this is such valuable connection between the environment and people, and they see it destroyed before their eyes.
You know, in the face of the twin disasters of Katrina and now the oil spill, it's not surprising that you would be focusing people on the Holy Father's letter on hope. How are people holding up? What is the general mood of the population there?
Well, you know, these are, you know, we just down in South Louisiana, just very resilient people, very, very spiritual knit. Most of these fishing communities are rural fishing communities, and our Stella Maris Ministries, our deacons that run the ministries to seafarers are providing a lot of leadership. I just think, you know, we're gonna get through this like anything, but what's unique about this one is just not like a hurricane comes through and you see the damage and then you can recover. We don't know. There's a lot of unknowns. Even with this moratorium on the oil drilling, is going to have another significant impact, economic impact. So we are seeing, you know, people wanting counseling. We have mental health counselors. We're developing a pastoral team to go out into the field and provide pastoral counseling. But you know, we will get through this. There's no doubt in my mind at all. The Vietnamese population that in Cambodian populations are heavily impacted, and they certainly are resilient people. They showed that after recovery from Hurricane Katrina. So, you know, we're hopeful people and going to recover. But, you know, we got to keep focused and, you know, keep together and keep praying and keep working.
And I think along those lines is we can't forget that when the oil rig exploded, 11 lives were lost, and so you have grieving families of 11 men who gave up their lives on that rig with the explosion. So we talked earlier, Tom, about the Louisiana Bucket Brigade, an organization that works to preserve the environment. Say something more about the Bucket Brigade.
Sure. We, through the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, and you mentioned earlier that, you know, the bishops were able to be generous and look at this issue across the Gulf Coast region with some pool of funds. But specifically, the Bucket Brigade is a very unique and empowering organization that will go into the neighborhoods. Right now, they actually literally are doing air sampling through what is actually a bucket and comparing those air sample analysis with what the EPA and what the oil companies are saying that's in the air. And so it's a citizen empowerment project. It's taking control and putting the power to look at analytically what's happening on health, air, and soil concerns. This was lessons learned from the Exxon Valdez oil spill. We are so concerned right now about the health of our workers in the field, our people in our communities. So this is one group that can help us kind of ferret through all the governmental bureaucracy and get the power into the people's hands to try to look at this thing analytically, and that their voices can be heard and listened to with some good analytical information.
You know, other than plugging the leak and doing the cleanup, which I imagine, you know, the Archdiocese there in New Orleans is not directly involved in, what are the most immediate needs of the people that you are helping to address?
Well, you know, right now it's food. We're trying to revamp the food stamp program to make sure that the people have access to the basic foods, food. And so but right now, right, the most critical need is the employment of the fishermen.
So is that the most critical issue, the fact that so many are have
out
had
of work?
To be put out of work?
Yeah, I mean, this is the most important thing. Our fishermen are used to working day and night. For them not to be working, it has so many, you know, unwanted consequences relative to depression and family structure. So we are focused like a laser on helping our fishermen access the Vessels of Opportunity programs through BP, access some workforce issues. We are focused on that critical temporal need of employment and dignity of work, which is so critical to Catholic social teaching and so important right now.
I want to thank in a very special way our guest, Tom Costanza, the Director of the Office for Social Justice in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, for joining us. Tom, know that our prayers continue. God bless you and your great work. Also, special thank you to our co-host, Graziano Marcheschi, for another outstanding job. Graz, always great to be with you on the radio.
It's a privilege.
And say hi to Nancy for me. And special thank you to our outstanding producer, Diane Dunnigan, for producing a tremendous show. And as always, our excellent, marvelous engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. And Brian, we brought the cup home to Chicago. And Brian's been the biggest Hawk fan I ever met in my whole life. To our listeners, God bless all of you. Have a wonderful weekend and go White Sox.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.